We'll keep an eye on that. Friday's high around 80, and then some pretty nice weather returning over the upcoming weekend. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Interested in making some spring renovations? Check out a home equity line of credit from ASE Credit Union. ASE Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASE. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender. ASE Credit Union, 9 locations, or online at yourasecu.com.
Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. New video shows a school resource officer tasing a student at Bullitt County High School, and many parents are now concerned. The Union Springs Police Department released a statement saying that the student allegedly assaulted the officer. This incident is now under investigation. Carver High School went on lockdown Tuesday after a shooting close to the campus. Montgomery police say that shooting happened in the 3200 block of Sewanee Drive. The victim is expected to be okay. No arrests have been made. And the owner of the historic Hotel Tallahassee has appealed last month's vote by the city council to condemn the building. Mayor Johnny Hammack says there will be a public meeting on May 14th for residents to voice their opinions. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACB Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
Dog is man's best friend. And while you may be making sure your pet has everything they need, the River Region Humane Societies need your help too. Blue Water Broadcasting and Acceptance Insurance are doing something about it. Help stuff our Sprinter van full of badly needed shelter supplies. Acceptance Insurance. Protection. Options. Peace of mind. It's our annual Paw It Forward Pet Drive. Donate what you can. From Blue Water Broadcasting and Acceptance Insurance.
For more information on the Paw It Forward Pet Drive, go to newstalk931.com.
MontgomeryAreaHelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Listen up, everybody. I'm happy to say that our office will be doing a winter coat drive.
Oh, I think I have something.
Actually, they just need men's coats in a size medium, preferably light blue.
What charity is this exactly?
The None of Your Business Foundation.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at MontgomeryAreaHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
ISIS claimed responsibility for the Easter bombings in Sri Lanka.
Newly released body cam video is providing more clarity. In this police-involved shooting, the driver opens the door. Within seconds, his hands go up and the officers open fire.
Vice President Joe Biden will officially enter the presidential race on Thursday.
The acting head of Homeland Security tells 60 Minutes the Trump administration's family separation policy is not coming back.
Two of the nation's largest drugstore chains, Walgreens and Rite Aid, say they have plans to raise the minimum age to buy cigarettes and other tobacco products from 18 to 21.
One of the nation's largest distributors of opioids became the first to face federal criminal charges in the opioid crisis.
James Holzhauer, he just keeps winning on Jeopardy, and he's done it again.
118,816, and now a 14-day total of 1,061,554.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Wednesday. Not the third Wednesday of the month, it's the fourth Wednesday of the month, but in the studio with us is Mayor Todd Strange. Todd, welcome back to the Dan Morris Show.
Thank you so much.
Pull up to the microphone. There we go.
I was talking into my earphones.
Man, we have a lot of territory to cover. There have been so much that's been going on. Let's talk about the 89% of the weapons that are stolen out of cars end up in the commitment of a crime.
the last 6 months, 3 months of last year, the number was 89%. First 3 months of this year, the number is 89%. Although the actual number
went
down
from 52 to 50?
No, 80 to 52. But I think the number of the 52, there were 6 forced entries. And so, that's where all the bad stuff happens with these illegal and stolen guns.
So basically, being a statisticians, that tells me that you've got this group of people that are walking around. They can only get into 50 cars, but it's the same percentage of people that are bad guys.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, Mobile's interesting. Matter of fact, there's a group of police chiefs in town today meeting with our chiefs and the legislature talking about how that you might can make possession of a stolen gun a felony. Now, there's some slippery slopes there because, you know, people could argue, well, I didn't know it was stolen, that kind of stuff. Well, that means that he got him illegal. And so if you got him illegal, then that's the same thing. Mobile's also thinking about fining those individuals that have their gun stolen out of their car that's unlocked. Now, the only way you know that is that you report that. Well, you're kind of victimizing the victim
twice
in that kind of scenario. So there's probably a middle ground in that. God forbid that if you got your gun stolen out of an unlocked car a couple of three times, you'd lose your permit. You know, that may be something that you could look at, but I think that's the slippery slope.
I mean, the thing is, if somebody's selling a weapon out of a car three times, yeah. I mean, you're talking $1,500 if it's a
that's right,
reasonable
they're
weapon.
They're dumb, aren't they?
Yeah, really. Is it buying just a piece of junk or something? Yeah.
No, but that's a slippery slope. You know, I'm enough of a Second Amendment person to, you know, think that.
So what type of crimes are you seeing that 89% of those weapons being
anything
committed?
Anything that happens, whether it be a sick 'em up or whether it be a robbery or whether it be a dope deal gone bad or, you know, you don't like your winnings from the poker game, anything that happens, you can trace that back. And matter of fact, we've got a new piece of equipment. It's not inexpensive that we'll be able to analyze all of the shell casings that we capture in the when a crime is committed, and we can then link that shell casing back to all the other events that have happened in your community, and so therefore you begin to get linkage.
What's the technology there? Is it looking at the rim shot on the
absolutely, yeah.
Okay, good point.
There is not one in Central Alabama. We rely on the I guess it's FBI in Birmingham, but we're going to have our own. I would have thought we already had it because we authorized it in October, but they told me we're weeks away, or a week or two away from. I think it's here. I think they're installing it now. That's another one of those crime fighters, just like Star Watch is. So we're getting a lot of this technology that's coming into play that's helping us solve. But what we want to do is, with this particular, the Star Watch, is be a little more proactive so that we can get on the front end of it.
I got a real pleasant surprise. I was driving around Cottage Hills and saw that Hilltop. They're actually doing something there. They're doing some construction on that building.
Wow! When did you do that?
That was a couple of weeks ago.
Wow!
Have they not gotten a permit from you?
I Friday, I read it to Matt yesterday. I text or emailed the owner of Syscon and asked him when they were going to pull a permit. Because all the approvals are in place, and if they are starting, they're doing it without a permit.
I understand there were some OSHA concerns about loose bricks and things like that. That's what they looked like they were working on, is the outside facade.
Stabilizing
and trying
it. You wouldn't need the permit for that because they already got that permit because they did a deconstruction, and that permit would have already been valid. So they really need to do it. You know, EJI, right there, strategically located, is just now, or will in the next week, I guess, open their center. 400,000 people have been through those gates since April. So within a year, 400,000. 107,000 additional hotel rooms. So there's room to grow. Two hotels downtown will open their doors. One's going to be like May the 15th. The other will be June 1st.
There's a Bishop Parker building?
Bishop Parker and Knight's Stay Bridge that Jerry Kaiser's doing in the old skate park. It'll open first, actually.
Wow.
There now, you've always seen the Bishop Pipe. You say, well, nothing's going on. Well, internally, we walked through it the other day. It is spectacular. All of the old wood, 17-foot ceilings and rooms, they're now putting in the exterior windows, and it looks like it might be opening within the next 30 days.
That's going to be a nice facility.
It doesn't only look. She told us it. As a matter of fact, it's one of the days that I'm leaving to go out of the country. They're going to have the opening at 10 o'clock before I catch the plane at 8 o'clock.
Oh, Linda wouldn't mind sticking around for another day.
Yes, she would.
Ty would be sleeping outside.
This is a whole fam family.
I get it. I get it.
A little birthday trip, as a matter of fact.
Let's talk about the police force and where we are in numbers. We ran a story about Phoenix, Arizona had 44 police-involved shootings that were there, and kind of what we talked about, what was the cause of that.
Right.
And part of it seemed to be the seasoning of officers, that we don't have really highly seasoned officers.
And obviously that's a national problem. We've got that 475, 480 that we've been dealing with. We've got 15 in training right now, and we're developing a class for, I guess it's June, that would have hopefully 30 in it, because I think we already have 16 early hires that would give them a better chance of making it. You know, in the early stages, you don't make it because of the physicality of it. So if you're there a month or two and you can kind of work on getting physical, and then once you pass that, then it's the law. It's the regulations and the codes and those kinds of things. Some people have a problem there. So if we can get those 30 out and not have a bunch of folks leave when we go to RSA, we might could get up in that 5-10 range here within this year. But that'll be a pretty ambitious goal. And, you know, people say, well, you get out of training and you're going to spend a year, 6 months, you know, getting ready. And that's true. But at least that gives you the second person in a car, which is a goal of ours, so that we can always have two people in a car.
Well, one of the things that, you know, trying to have that beat officer of a little more seasons where they haven't been out there only for 2 years or 3 years and they got moved somewhere else, but having where somebody who's actually been on the street and knows the street.
You know, you're exactly right, and we have that because if you look at just the patrol sector, I think that number's 300 at any one time. We got 300 people available for the patrol sector. It may be 275, but it's whatever that number is, we are at or if not over that number, because that's where all the new recruits go. But what we're having to struggle with is now you've been there 5 years and it's ready to go to a corporal, or you've been there 7 years and you're ready to go to the sergeant. Well, all of a sudden you go and you move beyond what your role is, because God forbid a lieutenant would be in the patrol sector and a patrol officer. And so detectives are really good. They're really good detectives, and so they got to be corporal, they got to be sergeant, now you got to make them lieutenant. Why can't they still be detectives as a lieutenant? That's just a rank. Right. And so you don't always have to put rank into supervision. They can actually be work on the street, and that's one of the areas that we're transitioning to, but obviously it takes a minute or two to do that.
Well, I think you just hit it. Instead of taking them off the streets and putting them in an office, just keep them on the street, but just give them the rank out there.
Exactly. And then
you are moving towards that.
We absolutely are. We've started a couple of years ago moving towards, we're actually paying officers now to be training officers. Not everybody wants to be a training officer. And so if you volunteer, there's going to be an extra stipend for you to be a training officer for that six-month period of time as they come out.
So you're driving saddle with the new officer then?
Yeah, every officer is going to ride with somebody to teach them the ropes.
We had another interesting discussion talking about education, city schools, with one mayoral candidate, but then also representatives and senators from the state. And one of the things we discussed is talking to the state legislature, and there's several that are open to this, about trying to write a piece of legislation that would tailor make more to school districts instead of one size fits all? Because if you look at the law and how our education is done, it's what is written in the Constitution is written for the entire state, not for Montgomery, for example. And Montgomery has a particular problem compared to, say, Shelby County or, you know, Houston County, two really good school districts. Would you, in to try to take that and look at a city system and get the legislature to write something that would take tenure out for that particular district and things like that, would you be open to something like that?
I would be open, but when you say city school system, I just had this conversation with Reed Ingram. He's all for helping us get a city school system, but unfortunately, we can't go to a city school system without a constitutional amendment.
Right.
So there's no guarantee that you in Montgomery County would get to a city school system.
But the legislators could change the Constitution of that without a constitutional amendment, is what I've been told.
I don't think so. I think you can't. The legislature cannot change the Constitution. You can just like a lottery, for instance. You got to vote on that,
right?
And the same thing with lots of other things. You got to vote on that. It's my understanding, and I paid a few thousand dollars to get this opinion from somebody that's supposed to know. Is until you get the local delegation to get to the constitutional amendment and it passed by the local group, the local citizens, you're not going to be able to get to it. But the easiest way to get to there is with charter schools. The easiest way. And so we now have Lear Academy, which is not necessarily the one that I am supporting. I'm not against that because I believe in the school choice.
And but there's only 200 students.
That's exactly the point. And so let's take a whole system and convert that in place. They got to do it over a couple of years, and that way.
Is this the feeder school system concept?
It's a feeder school pattern. You convert it to charter, and what that means is that those individuals that want to be in that system are going to be in that system, and they may be paid more money.
Right.
But if they don't want to be in that system, then they got tenure. They go back to somewhere else. That in and of itself is a problem because the truth of the matter is the best teachers are going to want to stay.
Absolutely.
So the lesser teachers are going to want to go back with the protection.
No, well, the best teachers are going to want to go to the charter feeder
system.
That's
what I mean.
I meant stay
in the converted charter.
Okay.
Charter school. That's where, and I hope, and I have some expectation that will get on the table sooner rather than later. You know, it was on the table, a lot of intimidation, a lot of confusion. Superintendent recommended it, the local superintendent, but we never got the new board to buy into it because they didn't understand it. They were concerned about the timing, and three, there was too much intimidation out there. And
intimidation from whom?
People in the audience and people calling up them and saying they're going to ruin your business if you vote for charter schools and things like that. It's vicious out there. It's vicious.
It really is.
Yeah. And so
Hashtag is proof of that. It's amazing what some people did to some representatives and senators who voted for the gas tax.
I hadn't heard about that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's like,
but at the end of the day, how many projects has she announced just in the last couple of weeks? And, you know, we got $4 million extra dollars that we're going to be able to spend. We're going to pull up Zelda Road. We're going to pull up Fairview Avenue. We're going to pull up Court Street and get those projects done that would have taken us an extra 2 or 3 years to get accomplished because we now got $4 million available to us.
Newstar 93.1 FM, Maritime Strange
you
in the house.
You don't want to talk about that one anymore,
huh? Yeah, I do. Now, I've got Heartbreak. You're the replay. 272-9228. We're going to be back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Almost everyone has a pet or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping, or they're scratching more than usual. What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
Sometimes you need things done around your house or land that your lawnmower or weed eater just can't handle. That's when you call Prattville Farm Center. They bring their own crew and equipment and clear whatever you need. They say no job is too small. I've been going to Prattville Farm Center for years, and I like dealing with hometown folks. They get the job done right and get it done quickly. If you have land that needs clearing, call Randy at Prattville Farm Center on South Memorial Drive in Prattville. Call 365-5400.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need
fun. From our super secret studio that now has TV cameras and lights in it, it's the Health and Wealth Show. Now, here's your host, the guardian of your greenbacks, it's David Ernest.
Hello, everybody. This is Rusty with Health and Wealth Radio.
Oh, wait a minute, David. You're not Rusty. I'm Rusty.
I know I'm not Rusty.
My bad. Go ahead.
Hello, everybody. This is Rusty with Health and Wealth Radio. We are going to be on television.
On ABC 32.
So tune in or call me at 279-7431 for all your financial needs.
And don't forget the Health and Wealth Radio Show, weeknights at 7 p.m. right here on News Talk 93.1 WACV. And watch for us on TV on ABC 32. David's the pretty one.
Intellectually honest, philosophically consistent radio. News and views from 9 till noon. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
To Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Urbanite, hang on for me, buddy. Let's talk about revenues.
Yeah, revenues are really good. Last month was over 4%. I'm waiting for them to go south, but EJI has really put new dimension with us, because not only do you get hotel revenues, but they're buying lots of things here in Montgomery. And so from that standpoint, we'll probably be up a couple of $1 million over what we have anticipated. That's our
expectation. Is that the largest impact visitation place?
Yes. In the new era, yes. When you get 400,000 new people. Now, that's not all they do. But they hear about Montgomery because of that. And
right.
They come and see, and then it's a museum, and then it's a zoo, and then it's, you know, other civil
historic
rights.
Walk and things
yeah,
like
exactly
that.
Exactly correct. Yep.
I'm seeing more people walking around on those little
right.
mobile things. I mean, it's amazing. I used to see that every once in a while now.
And you
see it all the time.
And you engage them. And they're from California. They're from Canada. They're from Europe. They're from Wisconsin. They're from Michigan. They're from all over the United States. Because civil rights, to them, they don't know about it. And
yep.
This is kind of burst on the stage. I got to tell you, in New York, I did not go, but one of the reporters, liberal reporter, asked one of our delegation that was calling on the newspaper, y'all still have separate bathrooms in the South? The person that she had, thought they were joking. She was serious. She's 25 years old, you know, been around New York. That's all she's ever done.
Right.
She literally asked that question because they were talking about
ignorance.
The Crest Building and the two water signs that we have up, the colored and the white,
mm-hmm.
And they were telling the story about that, and evidently she didn't hear it right. And she said, you still have
you know,
that's amazing.
That's what EJI and the Memorial to Peace and Justice is doing for us. It's changing perception.
Yeah, there you go.
It needed changing.
It definitely needed
changing. But so that standpoint, people come and see, they say, wow, and then they go tell somebody else.
What's going to happen with the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church? I thought they were going to put the recordings and
I still think that's in process because it's now part of the civil rights tour. It's one of the sites, and so I think that's still in process.
I hope they do that because that would be great.
It may have already been done, but the money was given by the governor to do that.
News 93.1 FM, Mayor Ty Strange in the house. Urbanite, you're on with the mayor.
Yeah, this is a follow-up to the EJI question. They announced the entertainment district a few months ago. You know the status on that?
When you say entertainment district, I'm not sure.
Well, I think he was going to do a new hotel or something, or
no,
theater.
No, he's not doing a hotel. What EJI is doing is they bought some property from us, and they're building a restaurant and also a more exhibit space and some bus parking. That's what we really need is bus transfer.
Are they doing it up by
No, they're doing it down on the right field of Biscuit Stadium, what we call 401 Court Street.
Okay.
Right. And the other question is, leaving Court Street, there's an eyesore that's been there since I was a child. It's like an Art Deco building.
Right. Yep. It's called Union.
Is it going to go away anytime soon?
Nope. First of all, it's owned by a guy in Florida.
It used to be the Aronoff building, didn't it?
No, the Aronoff across the street.
Okay.
It's the old Union Square Apartments.
Okay.
It's actually under contract. They've been trying to get some tax credits. My understanding is the new group doesn't need the tax credit, but it costs you about $500,000 to take it down. It's structurally sound. You only take down
like
dilapidation because it's structurally unsound. It is an eyesore. We've been working with them. At least they're keeping the vegetation cut back, and we're not having to do that and sending them the bill for it. So I have hopes that one of these days it makes 90 nice apartments. ASU looked at it. Troy's looked at it. Eventually somebody's going to do it, and it's going to be the best place to go in a tornado.
I agree that it was built to last because it was all concrete, but you don't think it would be better if that whole thing was done away with and replaced?
Sure. Would love to, but let's find the developer to do that. And we've had it under contract. When I say we don't own it. The guy out of Florida does. We know the real estate person. He's actually had three contracts on that in the last 5 years. Something's going to hit.
Urbanite, thanks for the telephone call. Appreciate it. 272-9228. Going back on the revenues, our biggest thing right now is the lodging tax is the thing that's just going on.
Well, the lodging tax is probably going to be up $1.5 million, $2 million this year, but that's only $12 million.
But it's up like 12%.
It's up 12%. That is great. Without rate increase. Now, what's really going to be interesting is starting in May is when April 26th was when EJI opened last year.
Annual.
So let's see in the May, June, July, August time frame. If you're still getting 10 to 12, 15% up, then you're rolling. I just don't know that we're going to be able to sustain that because that first year, tons of people came. That second year, tons of people are going to come. And then at some point in time, just like baseball, you get the big crowds for a couple of 3 years,
and then
you've got to do something to reinvigorate it. And I know that Brian Stevenson is going to do that. Because I know the projects he's thinking about, and he could go on for the next 10 years with the projects that he's visioning.
Interesting. So in revenues, how much are we banking now towards our reserve? Where are we on
reserve?
We're
about $24.5 million in reserve. We budget $1 million annually. This past year, because of some medical, what we call internal service fund, our health insurance. We overpaid our budget by a good little bit of time. We didn't get a chance to add as much to our reserve as we would have liked to have, but we always budget $1 million, and we look at it after 6 months. We start looking at it on P&L basis one by one, and we've got to have about $1 million increase in budget to make any substantial increase in our reserve. But our debt is now down, long-term debt's down about $260 million, up from about a $330 10, 12 years ago.
And blighted homes.
Yep.
Tell me where we're going with that.
Right. Well, what we're doing is identifying them through new programs and artificial intelligence and computerization and records. Then we field visit them. We get the candidates. We field visit them. And then they put on a list. And that list gets worked down every week. Every city council, we'll probably have 10, 12, 15 that get approved to demolition. There's probably we identified, I think it was 425 about 4 years ago.
Wow.
And we took about 100 each year. In the last couple of months, we got the last of that 425. So now we're working on the next list, and there are about 1,100 of those properties that are state controlled under tax sales and things like that. There's probably another 400 or 500 that we will eventually put into a sequence to get those torn down. But just because it looks bad doesn't mean you can tear it down. It's got to be structurally unsound for us to.
Is there anything that could be done in addition to, instead of taking it down, to maybe refurbish it and put somebody in there?
We do. We've got about 125 houses that have been identified of like that over the last year or so, and we've sold them. We generally sell them at the tax value or maybe a little less, depending upon what the circumstances are, with the proviso that they've got X number of months or a year to rehab and to rehabilitate that. Build to Build, many of these charitable organizations, churches, we work with them a lot to be able to transfer those to them so that they can make them back into the tax rolls. So we don't just automatically tear them down. The ones that we tear down are pretty well gone.
News Talk 93.1 FM, Mayor Todd Strange in the house, 272-9228. We're going to be back right after this.
You're listening to The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
You get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes, three men and a lady. Mornings, 6 to 9 on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
This is a cow. A cow whose milk became everyone's favorite cheese at the craft fair. But cheese only lasts so long. The impression a small business makes needs to last much longer. That's why Vistaprint is offering 500 truly personalized business cards starting at $9.99. Choose from hundreds of fresh designs tailored to your type of company. Or upload your own. The choice is yours. The time is now. Get 500 business cards starting at $9.99 with promo code 7373. That's promo code 7373 at Vistaprint.com. Vistaprint. Own the now.
Flo here with a word that's just weird. Terry cloth. Who exactly is Terry? And why does he get his own fabric? Did he journey below SPF 50? Fight off some weeds and his daffodils? How about a word for everyone? Flotection. Yeah, I just made it up. But I'm not making up how great it feels when me and Progressive protect your new home. Ever think of that, Terry? No. Terry only thinks of himself.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Fox News. I'm Lillian Wu. President Trump digs in against calls for his tax returns by congressional Democrats who also want to speak with administration staffers.
These aren't like impartial people.
The president's orders to his staff and former White House staffers to defy congressional subpoenas will likely set up a constitutional collision in federal court that may not have a resolution until sometime in the 2020 election year.
Fox's John Decker. Our former vice president could be set to announce his run for the White House tomorrow.
Almost every Democrat in America knows who Joe Biden is, and just more than a quarter of them, 27%, say he is their top choice to take on Trump in 2020. That's in a new Monmouth poll where Biden edges out a Democratic Socialist Senator, Bernie Sanders, who has 20%.
Fox's Peter Doocy. And Sri Lanka shaking up its top security posts in the wake of those deadly bombings Sunday. This is Fox News.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Montgomery Subaru. The experience you want from a dealer is at Montgomery Subaru. 3000 Eastern Boulevard or on the web at MontgomerySubaru.com.
Montgomery Subaru. Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. We're going to enjoy another warm, quiet day before this next storm system begins to affect our forecast. For today, with a high temperature in the middle 80s, it'll be partly to mostly sunny. So we're dry today and we're dry tonight. Partly cloudy to cloudy at times. Mild, overnight low temperature around 60. Then tomorrow, I think we're at least in the low 80s. Maybe some widely scattered showers possible tomorrow afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms becoming likely tomorrow night and into Friday. And I can't rule out a few stronger storms. We'll keep an eye on that. Friday's high around 80. And then some pretty nice weather returning over the upcoming weekend. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Smart Skin Spa and Salon is the River Region's full-service med spa, day spa, and salon. Located in historic downtown Prattville, with over 500 square feet, Smart Skin offers over 100 services of all things beauty and relaxation. Find them online or on Facebook now.
News and talk without the static. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Mayor, let's talk about roads and such. Now that you've got gas tax money.
Yeah.
How are you managing where you what you're going to do with that?
Yeah, well, we've always had a list, and we've kind of put it out over a 3 or 4 year paving time frame. Because most of the big projects, now, the neighborhoods, there's a $3 million neighborhood program that is just ongoing, and we'll spend about that. You can pave on average, a mile is about $75,000 to $80,000, sometimes as much as $100,000, but on average, probably going to be $80,000. So we're paving about 30 miles a year in that regard. It's the biggies, the Court Zelda Streets Road. And the Zeldas and the Fairview Avenues and things like that.
Are you ever going to get Court Street done?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Friday, that bid is let by DOT. It'll take them probably 30 days to evaluate. But let me say this, the bid's received Friday. Take about 30 days to evaluate it. They'll award it. Then there's another 30, 45 days mobilization. So sometimes this summer they'll start the widening and the curbs and the gutters and so forth. And maybe within 6 or 8, 10 months they'll put the asphalt down. But you look at Fairview in its entirety. We're into the acquisition stage now from court to the interstate to be able to move utilities to widen and things like that. That acquisition and utility is probably a 15-month time frame, and then you get started. Take from what we call Fairview East and take Zelda Road, for instance. They're all in that same time frame, and so what we're probably going to do, and I say probably, I just got to make sure that we got the dollars to do it, and I think we do, is we're going to put a what's just called a riding surface own, which is very temporary, lasts for about a year, 15 months, where you just make it a smoother ride, and then you come back and grind it up and put the old thing. That's going to be about $100,000 for Zelda and Fairview.
That's all? Out of your
Zelda
pocket?
And Fairview.
Wow,
yes.
That's a good deal.
That's a real good deal. But now we've got to come back then probably in 24 months, and we do the bigger project. Now, we're going to get a lot of complaints because everybody's going to see what a job we're doing and say, well, that's just half you know what. But just know that that is only temporarily put there so it would get a little level surface.
I like that. What happens when you take an unproductive property like Greg's and you put an Ollie's in there or the one where Coons is, the new appliance store that was at down from Home Depot?
Well, anytime that you can resurrect a vacant property, that's very positive.
Well, I'm talking about going from, I mean, Greg's was an unproductive property. That was why they closed.
Yeah, but they were paying taxes. There was life.
Ollie's is blowing and going. I mean, that has to be a huge difference of tax revenues.
You're talking about tax revenues to us?
Yeah.
Well, again, we love when a place closes and you get the backfills pretty quickly.
Because Gander's was like the dumbest idea I'd ever seen in my life. I walked in there and said, so I'm going to go buy a pistol from you that costs $150 more than it does at Academy.
But now another one's coming in there.
Yeah, I know. It's Cons. I've already bought.
Was that Cons?
I've already bought thousands of
those.
Well,
they must not have had their grand opener, or I must have missed it. They haven't had it yet. Yeah.
But they're right.
Well, that's great.
That's a blowing and going place.
Well, you know what I say about that? Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
But I'll be honest with you. I was so impressed with Ollie's, I went and bought their stock.
Oh, wow.
The next day.
Wow.
How
you doing?
Very good. I've got the options on this up 50% since.
Yeah, it's too late to buy.
No, not necessarily. I want everybody to buy. And that was on April the 5th is when I bought it.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Let's go to Bert. Bert, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Well, thank you, neighbor. How are you?
Doing good, Bert. How are you? This is Bert Loeb.
Oh, is that Bert Loeb? I thought maybe it was your nephew.
No. Bert, how are you, buddy?
Mayor, how are you?
I'm
doing great.
You putting that stuff down?
I am.
That's good.
I am.
That's good. This is a guy that makes a mint, sells the business, and then goes back into business.
There you go. And he does great work,
well,
by the way.
He does great work.
He did Chris's almost, house.
He did our house.
Oh, did he?
Almost all of that is correct, but not quite all of it, but as far as the mint's concerned, anyway. But
that's my story, and I'm sticking with it, right?
That's right. I've got two questions or issues, I guess I should say. One's near where I live, and one's near where I work. My new business, which is a couple, several years now, but I moved 2 years ago over to the Hainville Road area, H&R Point. And I go down there at night, which is, I'm not sure if that's stupid or brave or what, but when I'm coming back up Air Base Boulevard and hit Fairview Avenue, where it splits into Mobile Highway and Fairview Avenue, three-way intersection right there, that light takes forever at night. There's a library straight across.
Yep, we know about it.
And the lights, when they cycle through, it'll turn green for the library people to come out.
And there are no library people coming out.
Yeah, right.
And, of course, it's closed.
Yeah, right.
But I'm not sure, because I am doing a left turn there, and I haven't actually timed it, but it takes forever for those lights to cycle.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know if...
Well, we'll take a look at it. That's our traffic engineering group. I've got a number of those myself. I time them. I think the most you can have is like 3 minutes or something like that. But anyway, we'll get our traffic engineers to look at it. Obviously, the secret of that is to get vision activated. In other words, put the cameras up that, we'll cycle it when the other. And that in and of itself doesn't happen. But I'm kind of surprised at that intersection because that was the terminus point of a project that the state did, paving from Fairview from the interstate to that particular location. I'm surprised they didn't put up new lights. We'll get somebody to check on it, though, Bert.
I sure appreciate it. If it's 3 minutes, it's every bit of 3 minutes.
Now, what's the problem where you live? Because I'm interested in that since you're behind me.
When they redid Allendale Road and ran all the new water and all that and repaved it, I was hoping they were going to do this, and I probably should have called while they were already out there. I assume that's a city project.
No, sir, it's not.
It's not.
But anyway, it's really the Waterworks, and Waterworks is, as you probably know, a private company. But what did you hope that somebody would do?
Well, where Allendale Place intersects Allendale.
Yeah.
For about the first 200 or 300 feet going down Allendale Place, it's delaminating and it's in real rough shape. And then after that 200 or 300 feet, it picks up where it had been repaved years before.
I've been there.
So there's just that one
right in front of Mike Henning's house.
Mike must have made a man or something. I know that. I take that. We'll pass that on. We'll get our people to look at it. If something, there may be something still going on, or they may have still got to do connections, but I thought that project was over. But that'd be something we would look at, and then we'd coordinate with the Waterworks if, in fact, it's there.
I think we just learned the way that Bert goes to work.
Exactly. But both of them are used regularly by me. And it's Allendale Place, not road, but... It's a part that had not been repaved years ago whenever they did place. And then, of course, now they just now did road. So it's like a section that got left out.
So you're talking Allendale Place.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And it may be part of that neighborhood paving that obviously there is a list on our website that tells you every street in Montgomery that's going to be paved. But we'll get somebody to look at it, and I think I got your contact number. We'll get to you.
I sure appreciate it, Mayor. Right. I'm gonna miss you.
Thank you
for everything you've done.
You're kind. Thank you.
Thanks, Bert. Thanks for calling in, buddy. 272-9228. That's where we are. And you said two new hotels are coming online. How many rooms is that going to be?
I think one's like 110, the other is maybe 95.
Are you expecting that? Because our occupancy rate is really high.
Still high.
Do you think it's going to start dropping if you add 250 more units in?
Any time that you are close to 80% occupancy on a 30-day basis, I think we're going to see it hang in that with these two properties, but there's another big project out at East Chase that's coming in. It's going to be a more of a convention situation with maybe 200.
Like a convention center type?
Well, 75,000 square feet of meeting space. That's pretty significant.
Wow.
Along the way. And then we still have...
tell me where that is. Is it on Chantilly side?
You happen to know where the apartments wanted to go? There behind the church, between the church and the new apartments.
I know exactly where you are.
Yeah, it's that. I don't know whether they've actually.
That's actually pretty smart, because then you have all those other hotels, so you could have a meeting group there and have a place for everybody.
Yeah, that would be a nice addition. We eventually, when we get close to 1,000 hotel rooms, that's our goal, because that puts you in another. Element because when people want to have downtown meetings or meetings downtown, they want to be able to walk the 4 or 5 blocks or 3 blocks or something like that. I tell you what's really causing some issues for us right now is historically, you know, we had a tour bus or two might come through every week or so, which we appreciated and we really enjoyed, and that's how we marketed. But now we got 2 or 3 tour buses an hour coming through, and any one time you got 15 or 20. Well, we've always let them just park, purchase the meters outside of the hotel.
Not anymore.
Park them, stay there. Well, we can't do that anymore. And so we've got the parking up at the Biscuit Stadium, and, you know, people are complaining, hotels are complaining. You know, one told me the other day, he said, well, we don't have a courtesy shuttle, so therefore there's no way for us to get the bus driver from the Biscuit Stadium 2 blocks to the hotel. And I said, well, you know, I don't know about 2 blocks, but you ever heard of Uber? it's just no other city around that's got any tourism at all is going to let that happen, because you're taking away, forget the revenue side of the equation, which is not significant, but you're taking up parking space for people to come in and do commerce and then leave. That's what parking meters are all about.
Congratulations on the Technology City.
How about that? Smart City Award, that Smart City Challenge. Listen, all I did was...
And when you look at our competition, that was pretty strong.
It was very strong. 100 100 cities. And for Baltimore and Racine, it's really Milwaukee. For Edmonton, Canada, ourselves, and there's one other I can't come up with, to be able to get recognized as a smart city in the technology sector that we're doing. But what's so important about that is not only the recognition, but all of the attention that you're going to get and all the support that you're going to get from others that have come into these conferences. And now you're on the radar screen for every other smart city that's got good ideas. And so we're going to interchange all these ideas.
Revenue-wise, what does that mean to us?
Well, to the extent that you get companies that want to come in, that be a part of a smart city, that want to be a part of a growing city, usually that means entrepreneurial spirit. It brings you new business here. That MGM works, the F-35, we've got a meeting, maybe it's even this afternoon, with a major company that wants to locate here because they want to be close to the governmental suppliers for the F-35. And that could be very, very large.
But would they be downtown or would they be out at
Well,
Danley?
That's the conversation piece. Either could be close to Danley.
What's the advantage of being downtown?
Or could be close to Danley. Well, what's close is you got an internet exchange. And distance is money. And distance is time, and time is money. So they may be downtown. They may be there close to Maxwell, and they may be close to Danley. That's what the conversation is.
John, I'm coming back to you. You're going to be the first question on the board. Dan Morris Show with Mayor Todd Strange. Going to be back right after this.
You're listening to The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
To liberty in our time. The Joey Clark Radio Hour. Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
I'm Keith Pinkerton at Mr. Electric. How do we make things better? Our customers say it better than we can.
Professional. Top notch.
They were on time.
Fixed it on site.
I'd recommend Mr. Electric to anyone.
We're proudly making things better in the Montgomery area. And we're proud to be a neighborly company.
We're Mr. Electric. We have the power to make things better.
Visit MrElectric.com.
The Marshall Tucker Band is coming to the Montgomery Performing Arts Center, and News Talk 93.1 wants you to win tickets before they're gone.
On a check of freight train, down at the station line. I don't care where it goes.
Tune into the 3 Minute and a Lady Morning Show with Greg, Jay, Emily, and Rich all week long to win tickets to see the Marshall Tucker Band at the Impact on April 25th. Tickets to the Marshall Tucker Band at the Montgomery Performing Arts Center April 25th from News Talk 93.1. The River Region's first and only News Talk station on FM. Live local talk. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Dan Morris Show.
Now I've reached that age I've tried to do. 272-9228. You have your question, comment, and viewpoint for the mayor. Well, you better get your shots in. Let's go to John. John, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Hello, Dan. Hello, hey. Mayor.
Excuse me. Good evening. Afternoon.
Hey, John.
Go Falcons.
Yay, Falcons! How about that? Way to go. What year?
Thought you might like. No, I didn't go, but my daughter graduated. We talked to you a couple times while she was
great.
In school.
Super. There, great school. See, everybody might be thinking Air Force Academy. We're talking Montevallo, baby. Montevallo.
Montevallo. That's it. I'm wanting to go back to the roads. I live on Virginia Loop Road across from Fitzpatrick Elementary.
Yes.
Now, does the city take care of storm water runoff, or is that Waterworks?
No, storm water would be us.
Okay, because that road, when it was widened, back when Fitzpatrick Elementary was built, I've been there for 30 years, so I was there before the school was, the drainage on the side of the road, the ditches for the stormwater runoff, have never been cleared out, and my culvert under my driveway is just solid full of dirt now because of that, and that, so that when it rains, the water runs down, and it runs across my driveway, and it's eating out the asphalt of my driveway, which is a private driveway, and we pay to maintain, but it's due to the stormwater runoff.
All I can tell you is there an address on Virginia Loop Road?
4860
Virginia Loop Road. You got
if
that?
If someone goes by there now, they can see where I was out there with a shovel trying to dig that ditch out. But I'm 55 and my knees are shot.
Young man.
Young man. That's a whole different thing.
You're bragging now.
I've been a mechanic for 30 years, so the body's not as young as the heart is.
I ought to know my boundaries, but is that in the city? It's in the city.
It
Matt's
is.
Telling me it's in the city.
It's about a mile and a half inside the city.
Matt's taking that address, and we'll get it over to our maintenance.
John, thanks for the telephone call, buddy. He's on it.
I sure appreciate it. Thank you for all you've done, Mayor.
You're kind. Thanks.
The police jurisdiction.
PJ.
Legislation they're doing.
Yeah.
Where's your satisfaction or dissatisfaction level with that?
Well, I just think there is a need for a PJ. That's the only way you're going to be able to protect what's on your borders. Counties do not have zoning and planning authority, and so therefore they rely on us, frankly, for some of those activities. Pike Road is trying to get their PJ so that they can protect what's on their borders. The height of the example would be a number of years ago, there was a hog farm tried to be put down on 231 in the county, but in the PJ. So the county didn't have any fight against that. And so the city, you know, came in through their powers of the PJ. You know, in the PJ, we actually do building permits. Well, people that own property in the PJ, they get the services of the PJ and don't pay the full charge because they put a set of plans in, and we approve the plant, and we go out and we inspect, so you got a quality job. So there are a lot of benefits for that, but I just think we need to protect our PJs.
Let me go to Pamela. Pamela has a question for the mayor. Pamela, you have to be really quick. I'm up against the top of the hour.
I'll be real quick. I was on my way from Cloverdale to Ann Street Walmart, and going down Cherry Street, I saw something. I thought, I'll call right now because I'll forget before I get home. There's a huge, huge tree that is dead in the 2500 block of Cherry Street, and it appears to be kind of an abandoned rental house or something, but it's really, really tall, and if that were to be blown over across the street and fell on somebody's car, there's
Did you get the location?
25 Cherry Street. My only issue is we probably have to go through the process with the private ownership, but if it's a public nuisance, we'll need to do that. But we just can't go cut it down. We probably got to give them the opportunity and then cure period and that kind of stuff. But 25 Cherry, we own it.
Good deal. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Pamela. Ty, I want to thank you for being here today.
Yes, sir.
I'll see you in May. We'll be signed the 16th?
The 16th of May, and then we'll work on the rest of them.
That's a deal. You have a great day, my friend.
Thank you, appreciate it.
News on 93.1 FM, Demo Show. We'll be back after our top of the hour break.
Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.